Welcome to the Angry Admins Podcast for October 22nd, 2007, episode 47. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Angry Admins Podcast. My name is Joe Bibby.
I'm Ryan Necessary.
And we have had a reprieve from the heat this week.
Yes, it's feeling good outside. It is.
I mean, it's raining, it's overcast. Normally people would be depressed with that kind of weather. But down here, it's nice.
I was already sad, so now I'm just sad and comfortable.
So yeah, that's nice. It's been a pretty good week so far, and we're going to... This week, we're going to discuss just a couple news items as our main topic and let you know what we think about those things. So why don't we go ahead and get started with that. Big news this week, we have Apple's Leopard being released on Friday, October 26th at 6 p.m.
6 p.m.
I don't know why they don't want to release it during the day, but it's their new thing that they release stuff at 6 p.m.
Because you get off work and you go to the Apple Store.
Well, I guess if you think about it that way, it's actually pretty smart.
Because if you're the working man
mm-hmm.
and you get off at 6 and it's already been there all day long, then all of the college kids have picked it over and there's none left for you.
So have you had a chance to look over what Leopard's going to have in it?
I have looked at the list. It was very impressive. What is it, 312 improvements or something like that?
Yeah, it was 300 plus.
300 plus improvements.
Which is,
So there's a pretty cool video walkthrough, like a guided tour on the Apple
that
homepage.
Came out, what, 2 days ago, maybe?
I watched about half of it. It was late at night, and the guy was kind of putting me to sleep a little bit.
So it's kind of weird because it's starting to get a little creepy for me on these videos because they're all wearing the Apple uniform with the black shirt and the fancy hairdo and glasses. Like, everybody in those videos, that's what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Steve Jobs clones coming out.
The Apple Army.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird to me. Even the girl in the video had... She, it was like a V-neck black shirt. I mean, I get the whole, look, we're artists. But I wish they would just have some variety in there.
Well, I mean, they're trying to... I mean, everything they have is uniform.
Right.
You know, the curves of all their... Of all their hardware is the same, and the fonts are the same, and the interface is the same, so they want to dress the same.
I guess. I don't know. I don't like it. I wish they would mix it up a little bit and do something, think different, not think all the same.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the features. So what, are there anything that stood out for you as what's going to be nice about it?
In the walkthrough, in the guided tour, the time machine, the backup system is... Probably the coolest I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Not only graphically, but the way it functions and how it is intuitive and puts together. The fact that you can just bring up a certain folder and then scroll back. I think it's even cover flow, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, you can have cover flow in the folder.
Right.
But when you use, I don't know if it's the mouse, I think you scroll up and down and it scrolls.
So yeah, there's a little arrow you can click. To scroll, or I think you can scroll with the
scroll
wheel.
You go forward and back in time.
But you can even search in that, search in through cover flow.
Right.
And it'll go back through time and search
in that instance of that backup.
Yeah. Here's what's really nice about that for me. One, if it works as advertised, which I think it will, pretty close anyway, the fact that it's just instancing everything, over time.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't... in programs like Symantec Backup Exec, you have to dig through each instance of the backup. So you have incrementals usually, and then a full backup, at the end of the week or something. So if that file only changed at one of the incrementals and then was deleted before the full backup happened, you have to click through and dive down in every incremental until you find it.
Right.
And... You don't have to do that here. Is it really that hard to make a nice interface like this? I don't understand.
Well, I mean, backups have never really been done by anybody but sysadmins.
True.
We tend to not care as much about aesthetics.
By sysadmins, for sysadmins.
That's right. But I think it will encourage people at home to start using it, as long as they have some sort of storage place to put their stuff.
The only negative I see is that it's not, it doesn't appear to be well designed for network drives.
Yeah.
Which means your backup is going to be right next to your computer. So unless you have another one that you take somewhere, you know, if there's a fire or something, it's not going to help you.
Right.
But it's better than nothing, which is what most people have.
Yeah. So that looked good. The boot camp stuff that we're finally going to get for real, you know, that's going to be nice. The stacking in the toolbar. It's cool.
I don't think anyone's going to use the curved stack thing. I think everyone is going to use the box that pops up and shows them in a grid. That just makes more sense to everybody.
Yeah, I guess for a few things that would be fine, but
yeah, if you only have two or three
items. I tend to not like any of the download managers. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like the one in Firefox. I don't like any of those. Right. They just are just junk to me. You know, when I right click it, I know where I'm saving it.
Yeah.
But that's me. I don't just click around on everything.
Yeah.
I'm Mr. Tidy File.
Well, see, this is perfect for me because I set all my Firefox stuff to go to a downloads folder already.
Mm-hmm.
So this is exactly like what I already do, but I don't even have to think about it. It just happens.
That's nice. Other than that, I'm not sure. I guess iLife 08. I know that's already out.
Yeah, well, and that doesn't come with Leopard, so that's just kind of...
Yeah, but I'm just thinking of features, the stuff that they're putting out right now.
Yeah. I think CoverFlow and QuickView and Finder are going to be huge because that's something that's been in XP. I mean, not CoverFlow, but the QuickView concept of, you know, you can double-click images and, you know, they've always had preview in OS X, but the images is really what kills me. You open an image in preview and you can't just click through the next one like you can in XP.
Right.
And you'll be able to do that with CoverFlow and QuickView.
So that was one of the things I really missed was having that viewer, the Windows Media Viewer. Yeah,
I mean, that thing, you know, I guess I took it for granted because it's really slick and works well.
Yeah, so. It does work good. And then the other, let's see, what was the other thing? We talked about that.
Spaces, I'm kind of looking forward to.
Spaces does look nice.
Has been, it's been on Linux for a while, but they're just taking it the next step, and so I'll like that.
Oh, I know. The, we talked about this before, but it was the... pretty much the smart call to make the Finder look like the iTunes interface.
Yeah.
So it's like, for all the PC people that have iTunes, they're going to understand what they're looking at when they get their Mac. They'll be able to find their stuff. So that's kind of nice.
The other couple things I just want to mention real quick that I really am looking forward to is one, 64-bit. We've talked about this in the past, but it's going to be 64-bit OS. So any of the 64-bit hardware that Apple's released, which I think... if I'm remembering this correct, it's only the Core 2 Duo chips and newer are 64-bit. You'll still be able to run Leopard, but maybe some of our listeners can verify that for me. But either way, that'll let you address more memory at once and you know, improve overall efficiency of your memory management. Several other things use that. And then the it's fully Unix compliant and certified, which is awesome, I think.
Yeah.
I think it doesn't mean much necessarily. But just the fact that it's there and, you can use any of those Unix packages that you couldn't use necessarily as easily before.
I think it's just another step in their, they're climbing that ladder towards corporate, I don't want to say, I guess corporate acceptance as a real business platform.
Right. I think so. I think you're right.
The machines are becoming sleeker and more professional looking.
Right.
No more crazy colors and... it's Unix compliant now. They got the crazy awesome keynote and all the new iWork stuff really looks nice. And I think they're just positioning themselves to really try to become more of a work platform.
Yeah. Oh, the other one more thing. They're integrating what I think they're calling AutoFS, and it's supposed to significantly improve like network shares. And supposedly when you lose network, it won't freeze your whole OS like it does right now. Because if you have a network share open right now and you unplug, you'll get the spinning beach ball of doom for 10 to 30 seconds until it finally realizes, oh yeah, you are disconnected from the network and that's no longer there.
Wow.
So I'm looking forward to that. But it appears most people are calling this a developer release, meaning there's a lot of underpinnings, the core animation, some new under... pinning features that people will be able to develop with and make amazing apps.
Yeah, it seemed like they had a good balance between the eye candy and the functionality.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. So that's OS X Leopard comes out this week. I'm hoping to have a copy by next week so we can let you know, you know, just a brief rewind on my experience with that over the just the few days I'll have it, but that may not happen. We'll see.
And you'll be able to contrast that to your copy of Vista Business.
Yes, exactly. Which I haven't turned on Vista Business in a month now.
That says it all, folks.
Yeah. So the other story we wanted to cover this week was a big announcement from Adobe. And it wasn't necessarily a full announcement, as it was just that the chief executive over at Adobe was giving a talk, and he was talking about how Adobe wants to move all their apps over to the web. And we're talking about Photoshop, Premiere. I mean, we're talking the pro-level apps, not just the Express versions like they've talked about recently. They mentioned, you know, 5 to 10 years, more like the 10 years. But I think this is just shows a really big shift in the mindset of a lot of companies over to the web. And, you know, I'm questioning whether they can really make this happen. And 10 years is a long time. But you had a good thing you were talking about, you know, kind of the history of Photoshop and adding features to it and why this maybe makes sense.
Did I?
You were talking about I'll edit this part out, but they've added everything they can, so now they need to do something else.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that was the thing. Pretty much like Acrobat. We were talking about Acrobat, Adobe Acrobat.
Right, yeah.
And the fact that in the latest copies of Adobe Acrobat, it does everything. I mean, you can take a document and embed videos in it. You can embed WAV files. You can scribble on it. You can have notes and drop downs. And pretty much you can, you know, defile someone's document in every way imaginable, and there's really nowhere else for them to go with it. You know, and it's, if you turn it into a massively online game or something, then maybe that, but there's really nowhere to go as far as making it bigger, bulkier,
right,
and more bloated and more expensive, because I think a single copy of Acrobat 8 was like hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, $600, it was crazy.
I don't know,
for the professional version I think it was almost $600.
But
to make PDFs.
And I think also they've had kind of a track record, and these, looking back, these may have been sort of like a testing the water type thing when they did the Elements versions. They did the Premiere Elements, they did the Photoshop Elements, and they're like, well, let's see if people will bite off on a slimmed down version of the same thing. Like, do they want all the features, or do they just want something fast and easy, you know, to do stuff? So if I had to suspect, the Elements versions sold like crazy.
Yeah.
Because they're usually $99 for Windows or Mac, and they did 90% of everything most people needed to do. You know, cut, splice, crop, video, photos, whatever. So I suspect they sold a ton of that. And if they're following that trend down, they're like, well, what if we stripped it all the way down and just gave people the bare basics, like the McDonald's fast food version of video editing, and instead of going for this giant, bulky, expensive thing that only a few people can afford, let's take it all the way down and make it either ad supported or just a few dollars, or maybe you're going to have an Adobe membership for, you know, $15 a month, and it lets you have access to all their online stuff without ads. So who knows? So I think they're just kind of redoing their whole pricing model, and because they're talking about doing this in 10 years,
right?
A 10 year shift,
a long time.
I mean, 10 years, that's a millennium in computing time.
Right.
You know, 10 years ago, think where we were, so.
Yeah, I think it's really, I don't know, I just think it's fascinating to see these major companies realizing, hey, we've kind of really done all we can do here with this desktop app. Because, I mean, between CS1 and CS3, there hasn't really been anything amazing that they've brought to the system. It's a little faster, there's more you can do. But they're also looking at, there's a quote in the article that talked about, you know, some Adobe officials saying that the younger generation are not used to paying $400 for their software.
Right, or any money.
Or anything at all. And, you know, it's interesting to see them licensing, you know, so if you go to YouTube and you look at the remix section, that's Adobe Premiere Express, which is a very, very slimmed down video editing software that they've put out and licensed to YouTube, which means they're making a ton of money from YouTube,
right,
who's licensing this software. And I messed around with it a little bit today, never really had used it, and it was amazing how fast and responsive it was. It's all done in Flash, and you can add titles, you can add, you can cut the sections out that you don't like, and
use transitions
and then preview it instantly. I mean, instantly. So it's doing all this on the fly. I was surprised at how well it worked. I mean, I had my doubts. I've used some web apps that have been pretty poor, and supposedly they're bringing out Photoshop Express, which is going to be a very similar concept. And then I imagine, you know, they'll have these Express versions, and then they'll have a subscription-based model for pro users for these other apps, and, you know, that are coming out 10 years from now.
Yeah. Well, there's also a weird thing happening. It's kind of like, sort of like the cause is the effect, and mm-hmm. We want to put everything online, like mm-hmm. what we want our apps to be online, we want our video right. to be online, we want to stream everything we can, but at the same time, you got companies like Comcast, which are blocking all kinds of torrents yeah. and YouTube, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's not because they hate us, it's because they don't have the bandwidth to live up to everything that they promise. Mm-hmm. Like, they promise every user, you know, 300 and something down and, mm-hmm. you know, however many, you know, I forget, like 128 up or, you know, whatever service level you're at. But you're supposed to be able to get that all the time. So they're freaking out because they're not going to be able to survive mm-hmm. this whole bandwidth, you know, famine that we're going to go through with. You got, you know, Xbox 360s downloading video. Right. You got all these services, video on demand yeah. and the Netflix, and all these people are using these pipes, mm-hmm. you know, that are just out of, the tubes are clogged.
What are we going to do? We need more trucks.
We need more tubes and trucks.
Fill up, the trucks are full.
They are. Bigger yeah. trucks is what
so, we need. So, as a sysadmin, this really reminds me of the old days. All our apps are online. All our data is online.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a mainframe.
Yeah.
All over again. And if you look back, seems like, at least to me, over the years, it's like there's this sine wave of thin client to fat client and back again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm not sure, you know, and the reasonings are always different. You know, at first it was too expensive. Then it was, well, we want more processing speed, so we put it on the server. Now it's almost like we just want our data to be there all the time.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it is like the grocery store line mm-hmm. effect where, you know, you're ready to check out, and so you look at all the lines in the store,
yeah.
and then everyone else is kind of holding back too, and they see a line that looks short and fast, and
right.
everybody gets in that line, and yeah. then there's a problem, and then the other lines that were clogged up are now empty, so then everyone moves back. Well, I think that happens with this network computing too, because mm-hmm. you have, you know, it's like, okay, well, we want to do things online, because then we take the operating system out of the equation. So mm-hmm. that Mac people can use our stuff, and Windows people can use our stuff, and Linux people can use our stuff. As long as they got Firefox, you know, they can use our app.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds great. Well, until the bandwidth dries up.
Right.
And then the few years down the line, now there's been another quantum leap in the processor speeds, amount of RAM.
Yeah.
And people are thinking, man, you know, in the old days, this was a lot of memory and this was a lot of disk space, but this is nothing now.
Yeah.
So we'll just give it to them, and it's lightning fast, and they won't yeah. have to wait for this thing to stream down. Yeah. And so everyone rushes back to the desktop,
yep.
you know, and I think it is like a sine wave, like you're saying. It just goes back and forth and back and forth.
So here's what I'm wondering. I mean, 10 years, they're either going to be at the worst possible time with this, or they'll be right on. Because I think between now and then, it's going to shift at least once. And the question is, are we even going to be using a web browser still? Will it be some other software? I mean, that's a long time, 10 years. I don't know how they can think that 10 years from now, they can predict where we're going to be and what the needs are going to be. That yeah. just seems way too far out.
Well, I think they're basically this guy was just saying, well, we want to be online with it. And mm-hmm. he's just saying 10 years to give himself enough,
yeah.
you know, wiggle room so that he'll...
That's a lot of wiggle room.
He won't even be there when this yeah. thing comes to pass. But you know what's funny is that who's not talking about being all online is people like Microsoft.
Yeah. You well, know. they're doing more and more, though. But yeah, you're right, because the more we are online, the less important they are.
You know, they're not shouting from the mountaintop that they're about to be all online.
Yeah.
You know, they're still going to be selling right. us a disk with Microsoft yeah. Office.
They have mentioned that they're putting up a version of Office online, but they're only going to give you, what was the stat I heard? It was like 10 megabytes of storage. Mm. It was something pathetic like that.
Well, one of their, even a blank PowerPoint is almost that big, so yeah. I'm not sure yeah, how useful that is.
So, yeah, but Microsoft, I mean, this is danger for them because they're not used to this kind of a model. You know, they're trying to move to a licensing model, but they're used to you buy the software and you take it home and then you use it. And if the OS isn't important anymore, if it's just a browser, is the OS, then Windows is not important.
Well, they've always been so far behind the game on the whole online thing.
Yeah, they have.
I mean, they were late to the browser market. They were so late to the whole... I mean, they basically do what they always do, which is acquire startups who have got it right. And then they slowly bog those down. But so I'm not surprised that they're not leading the charge on this.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, like I say, 10 years is a long time. I think everything is going to move towards... I love Gmail. I love Google Notebook.
Oh, yeah.
Google Docs. I'm all about it.
I use a lot of the stuff I use is online now. I mean, it's nice. It's convenient. It works well. I don't know. Microsoft keep up is all they have to do is make something that's just good enough though.
Mm-hmm. But. And I mean, I'm pretty cheap when it comes to network stuff. I'll just like, if I just want to save something, I'll just save a draft in my Gmail and go home and open the draft and grab the text. I mean, I won't even go through the trouble of making a Google note out of it, you know, and it's just, I pretty much don't carry thumb drives. Yeah. You know, I try to move everything through FTP servers and websites and stuff like that. And I just like bouncing small critical pieces of data around like that because I really don't carry a lot of stuff. So I like being able to get to my stuff from anywhere, and I like networked apps like that. But of course, I don't go through the depths that you do to have the thumb drive with the portable apps on there.
Yeah, I don't use that as much anymore now that I'm on a laptop, though, which... is an interesting point now that I say that. Laptops are becoming more and more used by people. I mean, I think more and more that's what people are purchasing versus a desktop. So I'm curious if we're going to see the ball bounce back the other way, where as more people get laptops and they're carrying everything with them already, what do we need web apps for? Why not just use the great desktop app that we've already, we already know that's faster? Just like you're saying, the pipe's going to keep getting slower because... we already know there's a bandwidth crunch in the U.S., and if they have their laptop with them all the time, which basically I do now, and I'm starting to notice that with more other people, I'm wondering if they'll start using web apps less. Now, granted, I use a laptop, yet I still use a lot of web apps, so maybe it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I just like not worrying about my... chunk of hardware, like if it gets stolen,
right?
Oh man, tragic. But my email's not on there,
right?
They would have to steal the Google data center for me to lose my email, or it would have to get hit with a bomb or something.
I still think the sweet spot is a web interface that is augmented by a desktop interface that's tied to that web interface. So you have a desktop app that is a better version of the web app because it's on your desktop. But when you go to the web and use it, it's almost the same and has all your same data.
Kind of like a webmail versus a mail client.
Right, but imagine it all worked together without any effort.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what we need. Because then you can use the power of your desktop when you need it, but you can be ubiquitous wherever you are and have the same data.
Yeah, I'm almost starting to feel like, I mean, people slap me, but I'm almost starting to feel like more business is being handled in email now, and the applications themselves are becoming less important.
Right.
You know, I mean, 5 years ago, I mean, it was all about PowerPoint.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think how many PowerPoint presentations have I watched recently?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like...
Well, we never go to meetings, though.
Well, that's true. I guess if I showed up to a meeting like my boss told me to, it's like, no one uses this stuff anymore. It's like, yes, they do. You're not there to see it. But I don't know. Yeah. It just seems like we're more about asynchronous comms. Mm-hmm. You know, send an email, leave a voicemail.
Yeah.
You know, we're working weird hours. And
well, and I think that's been you've been beating that one. That why do I need to have a meeting? Just send me an email, you know?
Don't even get me started on that.
I think people are getting better about that. They're realizing, I don't need to try to organize 10 schedules and organize a meeting. I can just spam out an email and everybody can reply to all. And, 10 or 12 emails later, it's answered and we're done.
Right.
And people can keep working.
They didn't have to break their day to like stop and go to this thing or, yeah. I can see it.
Well, that was a big rat hole. But interesting. So hope you guys enjoyed it. Well, that's going to wrap up another finely blended edition of Angry Admins. Mm. It does that. Feel free to check out show notes for links to the two stories we talked about today, but it shouldn't be that hard to find on your own. But yeah, we do have a website you can go to, angryadmins.com. Go check that out. All six of you that went last week, I appreciate that very much.
Mm, they all won a car.
That's so. Right. No. We have the show note archives there. You can go back and listen to old episodes, or we have a forum where you can interact with us and post messages, or if you just want to send us an email, feedback@angryadmins.com. If you have any ideas for the show or feedback or anything else you want to just randomly tell us, you can do that there. So until next week, I am Joe Bibby.
I'm Ryan Necessary.
Stay angry.